6 o'clock, Yevamos Beis Amaralim Chantap. I'd like to give a short introduction to the first section of the Masechta. It's not going to cover everything, but it gives a basic outline. The Torah says there's an erva called Eish Yisrach. One of the arayas that the Torah mentions that is prohibited to marry a woman is a woman that was married to a person's brother. Under normal circumstances, Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Shimon marries a woman, and then Shimon dies. Reuven is an Isser Erva, an Isser Karis, to marry that woman that was Shimon's wife. It's an Erva, it's Chayiv Karis. Then the Torah came along and said that under certain circumstances, it is a mitzvah to marry that woman. That means this same woman can be an Isser Erva and can be a mitzvah. It's either or. There is no middle biblically. It's either a mitzvah to marry her, or it is prohibited to marry her, and it's a punishment of karis. And the rule is that if Shimon were to die without children, then nothing to do with having children from this wife. But if Shimon were to die without any children alive at the time of his death, even if he previously had had children, but at the time of his death, he had no children. So if Shimon were to die without children, the woman would need Yibum or Chalitza. That means Reuven would be obligated either to marry his brother's wife, and Kabbalistically, he continues on his brother's role in this world. He assumes the role of two people. Or he gives her Chalitza, she gives him Chalitza, which is a procedure that we will learn about in the Masechta, that frees her to get married to anybody she wants to. Now, some women, there's a mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza. Others, as I've mentioned, when there's no mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza, it's an Isser Erva to marry her. It's an extreme. Either it's a mitzvah, or it's prohibited with an Isser Karis. Now, regularly, under normal circumstances, if we have to define this, we say, the woman that the husband had children, Shimon had children, it's Karis. Shimon did have children, it's a mitzvah of Yibum. However, sometimes it's considered chorus, even if Shimon were to die without children. And that's what this Mishnah is addressing. So again, usually when we talk about the mitzvah of Yibum in contrast to the issue of the marrying a brother's wife, we say, Reuven and Shimon are brothers, Shimon got married, had children, and then passed on. Reuven would be ushered to marry his wife. It would be an issue of Eishes Ach. It's an issue of chorus. He would get karis for it, and have to be nechat as he did in the shagir. If Shimon died without children, we usually say Reuven has a mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza. He can either marry her, or she gives him Chalitza, which is again described later in the Masechta, and she is free to marry whoever it is. However, there are women that their husbands died without children, and yet there is no mitzvah Yibum of them. Even though Shimon died without any children. So the mitzvah of Yibum should kick in. They are exceptions to the rule, and the mitzvah of Yibum does not apply to them. Not only does the mitzvah of Yibum not apply to them, but they are forbidden now because of Eish Yisrach. Because again, if there is no biblical mitzvah of Yibum, then it's Eish Yisrach. We will find later on that there are rabbinic prohibitions of Yibum. We're not talking about rabbinic now, we're talking about biblical. Either it's a mitzvah or it's Asher Eish Yisrach. There's no middle ground. So if the Torah excludes those women from Yibum, and we will have a list of those women who are excluded from Yibum, then the Torah excluded them from Yibum, so that if one were to be out of them, they would violate Isser Karis. There is no middle ground of no mitzvah and no karis. Either it's karis or it's a mitzvah, biblically. And the Mishnah is now going to discuss 15 types of women that there is no mitzvah of Yibum by them, even though their husband died without children. I mean, Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Shimon was married. He died with no children. Yet Reuven does not have a mitzvah of Yibum. And not only does he not have a mitzvah of Yibum, but if he were to do Yibum, would be violating an Isser Eish Yisrach, would be doing an Isser Karis. Let us begin. Now, I want to give a pre-introduction. Dr. Wright informed me that there's a website called Daf HaChayim that has charts, in much better charts than art school does, on these relatives. Basically, the Mishnah will be dealing with relationships, relatives. Some of them are hard to imagine in your mind. Art school made charts the 50 Gemara made charts, but Dr. Brain tells me that the Daf HaChayim did a better job on it. If anybody interested can go on the website called Daf HaChayim on Yavamas 2A and see the charts that they have. Chamesh Esrei Nashim, there are 15 women, Piper Sarasayim, the Saras Sarasayim, and Yachalitim and Ayibim Atsayim Ha'olam. Before I get to the relatives, I want to translate this, because this is understanding the point of the mission. Let me set up a case that will apply. I'll use one of the 15 cases of the Mishnah. Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Shimon married Reuven's daughter. Perfectly legal marriage to marry a niece. Shimon married Reuven's daughter. Shimon dies with no children. Reuven cannot be miyabim his daughter. There's no mitzvah of yibum on the daughter because she's an erva. Besides being a brother's wife, which the Torah removed in this case, but she is his daughter. So if he were now to live with her, he would violate two Yisurim. He would be violating his daughter, and he would also be violating the prohibition of marrying a brother's wife. That's the first part of the case. Again, so these 15 women, which we're going to list, and I gave an example of one of them, Shimon married Reuven's daughter. Now Shimon dies without children. Not obviously, but the Gemara is going to bring the pasuk that the mitzvah of Yibum, which takes away the erva of marrying a brother's wife, does not take away the erva of marrying one's daughter. And therefore, there's no mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza. She is prohibited to Reuven. Now, here comes the key. Shimon had a second wife. So let's set it up. Shimon married two women. One was Reuven's daughter, and one was another woman unrelated to Reuven. So Shimon is married to Rachel and to Leah. And Rachel is Reuven's daughter, and Leah is not Reuven's daughter. So now, Shimon dies. So obviously, as we mentioned, Reuven cannot marry his daughter. How about the other woman? The other woman is not related to him. It's his brother's wife. His brother died without children. Seemingly, there should be a mitzvah of Yibum. We will learn now from Sukkim that not only is Reuven not allowed to be Yabim his daughter, he cannot be Yabim the other wife as well. Because we will learn that being in the same marriage as one of these 15 Erevim that we are going to list takes away the mitzvah of Yibum not only from the Erva, but also from the other woman in that marriage. Let me again explain. Shimon married Reuven's daughter and a different woman. And now he died without children. Reuven cannot be miyabim his daughter, but not only can he not be miyabim his daughter, he's not allowed to be miyabim the other woman as well. She's his brother's wife, and there's no mitzvah. And as I mentioned in the beginning, Yibum is either a mitzvah or it's a karis. If there's no mitzvah, it's prohibited. And when you learn out of the pasuk that any woman that's in the same marriage as an erva is usher to her brother's, to her husband's brother, as there's no mitzvah yibum. And once there's no mitzvah yibum, she is a brother's wife without a mitzvah, which is karet. So now, not only can't Reuven be out of Rachel, he can't be malav Leah as well. So again, I want to make that clear. Shimon is married to two wives. One happens to be Reuven's daughter. The other one is a stranger as far as blood relatives are concerned. Shimon dies without children. There is no mitzvah of Yibum. In fact, it is prohibited not only to Reuven's daughter, but also to the other wife. That is called Sarei. So Chamesh Esrei Nashim, Paitreis Sarei Seyen. They absolve not only themselves, not only don't they have a mitzvah of Yibum, but they also, their tzara, tzara is the other wife, is called a tzara. Two women in one marriage are called tzaras to each other. They absolve their tzara as well. To Rashi on that first Rashi. Chamesh Esrei Nashim Paitreis Sarei Seyen. It's a funny sefer. Shemhoitza Achas Mehem Nesuah La'achim. If one of them, of these 15 women, were married to Shimon, right, the law Isha Acheres, and Shimon had another wife, who made Tuloy Banim, and Shimon died without children, stay of Tuloy. Not only is the daughter a putter, but the other woman is putter as well. And again, when we say the word putter, means it becomes prohibited, as a brother's wife. The kind of yellow the Gemara, this will be learned out in the Gemara. So that's what Paitis Sarasayan means. Now we move to the next line. The Tsarais Sarasayan. Let me explain the case. Ruvain, Shimon, and Levi were brothers. Three brothers. Shimon married Ruvain's daughter. And a different wife. Shimon died without children. Ruvain cannot do Yibum. Since one of the women is his daughter, so there's no mitzvah of Yibum for him, not for his daughter, and not for the other woman. That's what we just learned with the words Paitreis Tsarasayan. That not only are the daughter, is the daughter removed from the mitzvah of Yibum, but the other wife, her tzara, also has no mitzvah of Yibum. And as we mentioned before, when there's no mitzvah of Yibum, there's a prohibition of marrying a brother's wife. Levi, however, is not related to any of those two women. He can do Yibum. He can either marry Reuven's daughter, or he can marry the other woman, because none of the two are related to him. Reuven can't do Yibum because one of the two is his daughter, right? So he can't do Yibum to her, and as we just learned in the Mishnah, since he can't do Yibum to her, he can't do Yibum to the other woman as well. Levi, however, has no such restriction. He's the third brother. Shimon died without children. He has a mitzvah to marry or get chalitza from one of those two women. Levi decides to do Yibum to the other woman, not to Reuven's daughter. So now, Levi has been mekayim the mitzvah of Yibum. He has married to Reuven, to Shimon's wife, who was once Shimon's wife, is now Levi's wife, right? He did Yibum, not to Reuven's daughter, which he could have. He did Yibum to the other woman. And he has another wife of his own. And then he dies without children. Now, Reuven is not related to any of the two of Levi's wives. None of them are his blood relatives. But one of them had once been in a situation where he couldn't do Yibum because she had her husband had died and she was not allowed to have Yibum from Reuven because she was a co-wife with Reuven's daughter. So again, let me set up the scenario. Shimon married Reuven's daughter and a different woman. When Shimon died, Reuven was not allowed to do Yibum to that other woman. She was called a Tsaras Erva, a co-wife of an Erva. And we learn that from the Pasuk. And there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Levi went to marry that woman. He was legally allowed to do it. He had any of them Yibum. Now Levi dies without children. So he's saying, since that woman was prohibited to Shimon, to Reuven, from the first death of Shimon, he can no longer do Yibum there ever, even if Levi were to die without children. And not only can he not do Yibum to her, but her co-wife would be a Tsaras Tsara. There would be no mitzvah of Yibum either. So it comes out that since this woman was a co-wife with Reuven's daughter when Shimon died, and it became prohibited for Reuven to do Yibum to this woman, now that Levi married her, Levi's another brother, and he married her, and now she's Levi's wife. When Levi dies, he cannot do Yibum to this woman anyway, because she was once a brother's wife that he couldn't do Yibum to. And then she has a co-wife. He can't be the Yab of that co-wife either, because she's a Tsara to the Tsara of an Erba. That's called Tsarais Tsarasayan. Ad Saibaila. And this can continue on, which means Yehuda, the fourth brother, can do Yibum to any of Levi's wives. He picked the one that was Levi's wife that was not Shimon's wife. And then he dies without children. Since Reuven couldn't do Yibum to her when she was Levi's wife, he can't do Yibum to her when she's Yehuda's wife, and including her co-wife as well. And this can keep on going, as many brothers as you have, and as many wives as you have. But the idea is the same. Once a woman fell to Yibum, theoretically, her husband died without children, and Reuven was restricted, was not allowed to do Yibum to her, he can never, ever do Yibum to her, even if she marries a different brother and falls to Yibum from the other brother. I hope I've explained myself well enough. Is it? Am I clear?
Rabbi, can I ask a question about this? Just trying to take it to its
end.
Yes. Is it true that once a tzara is forbidden to any brother, she's forbidden to all brothers?
No. She's only forbidden to the brother that chance forbidden to her because she had a co-wife that was an heir to him. That means if Shimon married Reuven's daughter and a different woman, and Shimon died, Reuven can't do Nibum. But Levi, none of Shimon's wives are related to him, has a mitzvah of Nibum.
So there is a co-wife that can be eligible I think it was the second situation that you mentioned.
Both wives are eligible in that second situation because Levi can marry either one of the two. He's not restricted at all. None of them are related to him.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to point out that the first mission is complicated because of the cases we'll have, but the rest of the test is not as complicated. Nobody should get turned off by the first mission. So again, there's a tzara and there's a tzara's tzara. And let me try to explain it again so we can get clarity over here. Reuven, let's say there's a whole bunch of brothers. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Three brothers. Shimon marries Reuven's daughter and a different wife. And then Shimon dies. Reuven cannot do Yibum to any of the wives. He can't do Yibum to his daughter because she's related to him. He can't do Yibum to the other woman because she is a tzara's erva. She's a co-wife of an erva. And therefore, there's no mitzvah of Yibum for Reuven to do here. He can't be miyab of his daughter, nor can he marry the other woman. He is out. But Levi is not out. Levi has a mitzvah of Yibum. His brother died without children, and both of these women are eligible to him. They are both, he can marry any one of the two. So he can do the mitzvah of Yibum with any one of the two. He chooses to do his mitzvah of Yibum with the one that's not an heir to Reuven, the co-wife. So now, Levi is married to Shimon's wife and his own wife. And he dies without children. Now, Reuven is not related to any of the two of Levi's wives. None of them are his relatives. But since one of them was Shimon's wife, and he couldn't do Yibum to her when Shimon died, she remains restricted forever. Not only does she remain restricted forever, but her co-wife also becomes restricted because her co-wife is now a tzara's erva because this woman is an erva to Reuven because she had been a tzara's erva once upon a time. So because she was a co-wife with Reuven's daughter when Shimon died and therefore couldn't have Yibum, she can never have Yibum. She can never have Yibum even if she marries Levi. And then Levi dies without children, she can never have Yibum. And since she can never have Yibum, either can her co-wife. And the co-wife of Levi is called a tzara's tzara. She's the tzara of the tzara of the erva. She's the second one. I hope I'm explaining myself clearly enough. Anybody have a question before I move on? The tzara's tzara same outside Bailam. The Masisa Mafarish the Gemara Moses one. Yes.
Rabbi, just a general question. When there are two wives, no heir. Is the tree of union is to both wives or just one?
One of the two.
One of the two.
Choice
to marry both.
No, you're not allowed to marry both. You can only be miyabim one of the two.
Why is he not allowed to marry both?
We'll learn that out from Sukkot. The mitzvah of Yibum is only one of the two. He's not allowed to do it to both. I'm sorry?
Is there a pecking order? Which one goes first?
No, it's the one he wants.
Okay.
Rabbi Yitzchak, I'm sorry. Rabbi Yitzchak?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I was just making sure I mentioned beforehand. If anybody wants to email me at mbrait@yahoo.com, I'll be happy to forward them the PDF file on those charts. It's mbrait@yahoo.com.
You know what I'm asking? If
you
had children from another wife, a different wife, and then but he didn't have children from his brother's wife.
Doesn't make a difference. If a guy dies with children, I don't care which wife he had children with, there's no mitzvah of Yibum.
Right.
He has to die childless. The man has to die childless. It has nothing to do with the women having children. It has to do with the man having children. I mean, theoretically, a person can marry a woman that had children from a different husband for second marriage. But this person never has children. There's a mitzvah of Yibum. Because we don't look at the woman. We look at the husband. He died childless. His brother has a mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza.
Can two brothers do the Yibum on two wives? That's not allowed.
No. That's also learned time from Sukkim. Only one brother is allowed to do Yibum to one wife. And there's a pecking order in the brothers. And that is the oldest brother gets the mitzvah first. If he doesn't want to do it, then the second brother can do it. I mean, if he doesn't want to do Yibum and the second brother wants to, the second brother gets a right to do it. There is a pecking order, but that doesn't mean you have to stick to it. That's the mitzvah. The younger brother can jump ahead if he wants to. He doesn't have to ask his older brother. You don't like it, but the Yibum would be effective. But there is, by the woman, there is no pecking order. Any one of the wives is as eligible to Yibum as the other one.
I have a question. In the story of Ruth, the Ploni Almoni was not a brother. Did the laws of a woman change?
In the story of Ruth, there was no mitzvah of Yibum. It was not a biblical mitzvah of Yibum. Ruth was a Geyaris, number one. Question was, when she married Machloin, was she a Jew or not to begin with? So let's say she was. But Machloin was not a brother, he was a nephew. So the whole Yibum in Rus is not the regular Yibum you're used to. That was a, it's not a obligation, but it is a mitzvah. It has nothing to do with Amasekta. Zero to do with
that. I understand that. But is it such an Indian, was that just a cultural thing at that time? Or was there a mitzvah involved in it at all?
It's definitely not a biblical mitzvah. It is a mitzvah. But I don't know where it comes from exactly, but it has nothing to do with Masechta Sivah. Masechta Sivah deals with a brother's wife and only a brother's wife. There is no mitzvah by a non-brother's wife. It has nothing to do with people. None of those two, nobody was related to us as a brother's wife. Now, Baya is not playing now. I need none of them.
So it's a cultural thing.
Again, I didn't say that. I said it's a mitzvah. But it's not what we're talking about with Masechta Yibamot. That's not the mitzvah of Yibum in the Torah. So let's put it to the side and not bring any riot from that story to any halacha of Yibum.
Okay.
So now we're going to, I hope I explained myself. And not only is there no mitzvah of Yibum, but there's no obligation of Chalitza as well. And that we're going to learn out from the Pasuk. That whenever there's no obligation of Yibum, there's no right to Yibum, there's no obligation of Chalitza. So therefore, Reuven, to Shimon married his daughter, Shimon married a different wife, just like Reuven is not allowed to do Yibum to either of those two women, he doesn't have to do Chalitza either. So there's no other brother, these women go free automatically.
Why isn't it obvious that chalitza only is applicable where Yibum is applicable? Why isn't one the antidote to the other? Why would we
say that? 100% right, but without a pasuk, you can make an argument differently. So the pasuk teaches me that you're 100% right. The two go hand in hand. When there's no one, there's no the other.
But why do we need a pasuk for that?
Because you could learn. I mean, I could sit here and try to make a difference, but I'm not gonna push the point, because the pasuk says they are going together.
Okay. It just seems to me that they're part of the same universe. If one is not necessary, why are you even talking about the other?
Well, that one is not necessary. One is not allowed.
If one is not allowed, one is not
there. Right. It is obviously not necessary. You're right. But, again, without a prophet, I could sit here and make an argument. I don't want to spend the time on it because it's not going to happen. It's too anyway.
All right.
And again, Tzaris Sirisayan is, Levi married one of Shimon's wives that was not Reuven's daughter, and then he died without children. Not only can't Reuven be Miyabim, the one that was once Shimon's wife, but he can't be Miyabim, the other one as well. The Chalitza and Ayibu Matzai Ba'ila means this can go on to many steps. Because Yehuda can then be Miyaben, Levi's other wife, and then die without children. And Reuven wouldn't be able to be Miyaben, that wife and the other wife of Yehuda's, because again, once she fell to him once, we use the word sell to evil. Once she came to him once, and he couldn't be me out of her, he can never be me out of her, even from the next brother. And that's called Pritris Sarasayim, the Sarah Sarasayim, and the Halitzim and Aibim Atsayv Ailam to the end of the world. The Elumen. And these are the 15 Arbas. We'll take each one. Again, this is just getting the cases straight. Bitai, and that's the case I've been talking about. Shimon had a daughter. Reuben had a daughter. Whether it could have been out of wedlock. And the reason I say it's out of wedlock, I'll say in a moment, because of another era coming up. So let's say this daughter was born to him out of wedlock. But it's his daughter. And Shimon married this girl who was born out of wedlock. Now, Shimon dies. Reuben should not be miyab of her, nor her co-wife. That is era number one. In Basnita, his granddaughter, his daughter's daughter. Reuben had a daughter out of wedlock, who had a daughter, I don't care how she had the daughter, that's Reuben's granddaughter. Shimon married Reuben's granddaughter. Now, Shimon died without children. Reuben obviously, or not obviously, can't be miyabim his granddaughter. Not only can't he be miyabim his granddaughter, he can't be miyabim the other wife as well. And the third one is Bas Benai, a different way of a granddaughter, meaning Reuben had a son, and the son had a daughter, and Shimon married his granddaughter. Again, there's two cases of granddaughter. One is a daughter's daughter, and one is a son's daughter. Either way, it's his granddaughter. And Reuben that married Shimon. So that's three Arabs out of the 15 we're going to list. One is that Shimon married...
Brothers, right?
I'm sorry?
All these cases, Shimon and Reuben are brothers.
So. Yes, yes. So Reuben and Shimon are brothers. Shimon married his brother's daughter, or his brother's granddaughter. Again, two cases of granddaughter. Either his brother's daughter's daughter or his brother's son's daughter. In all these three cases, Shimon had a legal, perfectly legal marriage. He's allowed to marry his brother's daughter. He's allowed to marry his brother's granddaughter. He had another wife, and he died, and he had no children. Usually it is a mitzvah of evil. But since one of these two women are an heir to Reuven, not only is there no mitzvah of evil for that woman, but there's no mitzvah of Yibum to the co-wife as well. So that's three of the 15 cases. We move on to case four. Yes.
Rabbi, since we're talking already about grandchildren, does this imply, since we're also talking about these May-December marriages, that this would go for great-grandchildren as well, or does it stop there?
No, it stops at grandchildren. Great-grandchildren is not an erva. We're going to learn about that about 15, 18 months from now. That great-grandchildren is called a shliya. We had it mentioned in Shabbat, it's a rabbinic or erva. Theoretically, a person can marry his great-granddaughter.
Oh, okay.
It's biblically. Rabbinically, he can't. The biblical erva goes two generations, his daughter and his granddaughter. It doesn't extend further than that.
Okay, thank you.
Now, the next three ervas are really the same as the first three, except in the first three cases, it's his daughter and his two granddaughters. And, right, and they could have been born, the daughter could have been born out of wedlock, or the son could have been born out of wedlock. There's another three Arabs. If Reuben marries a woman who has a daughter from an other man, right, he's not allowed to marry her. It's an Arab called your wife's daughter, even though it's not your own daughter. Right? Now, most cases, your wife's daughter and your daughter will be the same girl. That's why I said your daughter is out of wedlock, so it's not your wife's daughter. Now, the next three cases is Reuben had a wife who had a daughter, and Shimon married Reuben's wife's daughter, who was not a blood relative of Reuben. It was Reuben's wife's daughter from a different marriage, or Reuben's wife's granddaughter. Right? Reuben has an erva, biblical erva, not to marry his wife's daughter or granddaughter, even if they came from a different man, right? A different husband. Now, Shimon married one of those three girls, either Reuben's wife's daughter or Reuben's wife's one of the two granddaughters. Again, it's an erva to Reuben. Shimon dies without children. One of Shimon's wives is an erva to Reuben because they're his wife's daughter or his wife's granddaughter. So not only can't he do Yibum to those three, he cannot do Yibum to their co-wives as well. And that's the next three Erevus. Bas Ishtai, Bas Bina, and Bas Bita. That is wife's daughter, her son's daughter, her daughter's daughter. Now that's why originally Bitai and Bas Ishtai are usually the same woman. Because a person gets married, has a daughter from his wife, she is his daughter, she's his wife's daughter. So therefore I said, Bitai means out of wedlock. That means she's not his wife's daughter. She's only his daughter. And Bas Ishtai is she's only his wife's daughter. Either case, it's an erva. A person cannot marry his wife's daughter, even though it's not his daughter. And he cannot marry his wife's granddaughter, even though it came not from him, it's a granddaughter from a different, meaning originally from a different man. Still, it's an erva. So therefore, Reuven's brother, Shimon, would marry any one of these three women and then die without children. Not only would Reuven not be allowed to do Yibum to those three, he wouldn't be able to do Yibum to their co-wives as well. So far we've covered 6 out of the 15 women that Reuven would not be able to do Yibum to, and therefore not only is there no mitzvah Yibum to them, but there's no mitzvah Yibum to their co-wives as well.
Why do you buy the same out of wedlock? Her could be her stepdaughter from a legitimate previous marriage that she had.
Again, what is the difference between Bitai and Bas Ishtai?
No. She was married. His wife was married previously. She had a legitimate daughter.
So that's called Bas Ishtai.
Yes. Yeah, so why do you keep on going to saying she had an illegitimate?
I didn't say it about her. I said it about him. What is the case of Bitai? The first Arab. Roommate's daughter.
Okay. So we're talking. Okay, that's fine.
In the second case, it could have been totally legit. The next three, yes.
What happens if he takes his sister-in-law in Yibum, then it turns out that he had a previous child through wedlock? Is the Yibum marriage good?
Again, I lost you in the case.
A man legally takes a woman in Yibum. Then sometime later, it turns out that he had previously had a child out of wedlock.
Who's he? The brother?
The husband who took the woman in Yibum. Turns out
Yibum is when the deceased had no children. The one who's doing Yibum can have 25 kids. The deceased died without children. Now, your question would be the following. Let's say Shimon married a woman and had died without children, moving to Yibum, and then found out later that his brother had had a child. And he had made a mistake. He thought his brother had no children. But meanwhile, it came out that his brother had a child. That means the Yibum was invalid. So that means he did an Isser Karis B'Shegeg. He didn't mean to do it, but the bottom line is he violated. He married his brother's wife, when there was no mitzvah. He didn't know. How was he supposed to know that his brother had a child? Nobody knew about that child. His brother had a child when he was fighting in Vietnam. Nobody knew about that child with a Yiddish lady in Vietnam. Right? And he had nobody idea that he had a child there. Then later on, we found out about that child. That means that Yibum was invalid, was wrong, and the person had lived with his brother's wife in sin, the Shayyid, for as long as it was, till they found out. 100%. But it's not anybody's fault, because they didn't know. How were they supposed to know? Shimon never revealed to his wife that he had a child out of wedlock, and Reuven never knew about it, and now we found out about it. Now, how he found out would be a different story. This is when DNA comes into play.
And the result is, if they have a child, that child would be a mamzer then.
Correct. If they had a child, that child would be a mamzer. To no fault of anybody. But that's what happened. If somebody has a child from a chiyuv karis, even if it was b'shegeg, the kid is a mamzer. Correct.
Thank you.
Okay, next case. The next three cases are the opposite of wife's daughter and wife's granddaughter. And that is wife's mother and wife's grandmother. Same erva. But instead of going down generations, he goes up generations. That means Shimon married Reuven's mother-in-law. She obviously was married, her husband died, and she married Shimon. Or his grandmother-in-law, his mother-in-law's mother, or his father-in-law's mother, who was a widow or a divorcee, and married Shimon. And Shimon died without children. Now, the mother-in-law had children. She's obviously his mother-in-law, so she had children. But it doesn't make a difference. The husband, Shimon, never had children. The man who married her, the brother, never had children. But there's no mitzvah of Yibam, because these are ervus. Person's not allowed to marry his mother-in-law, nor his grandmother-in-law's, right? So therefore, now there's no mitzvah of Yibam, and there's no mitzvah of Yibam to those three, and no mitzvah of Yibam to their co-wives as well, because they potter their tsaris as well. So that's Chamaisai. Ve'em Chamaisai, ve'em Chacha. Zafrashi. Chamaisai. Shemei's Baila, her husband died, Menasa Achiv, and Reuven's brother married her, Umeis Bloy Bonim. And again, I don't care about the woman having children. It's the man. Shimon died without children. Ve'em Chamaisai, ve'em Chacha. Shteim Asurisai, Mishum Erba. Now, the Torah never mentions mother-in-law and grandmother-in-law. So Rashi is bothered, where does that erva come from? So Rashi says, this is the flip side of a woman and her daughter is a woman and her mother, because when a married person has a woman and his mother, it's a woman and the daughter. I hope I'm explaining myself. It's the opposite way. But not marry a woman and her daughter. You can't take a woman and her daughter. If you take a woman and her mother, you're taking a woman and her daughter, because the mother is the mother-in-law. Would be a woman and her grandparents, right? It would be a woman and her granddaughter. To the Mepharish male and her Shrafim, period. So therefore, they're erva, because they're the flip side of the woman's daughter and the woman's granddaughter, is the woman's mother and the woman's grandmother. So Rashi is bothered, why are we listing Bitai and Bas Ishtai as two ervas? So Rashi says, his daughter means out of wedlock. He forced a woman into zuf, and they had a daughter. If this would be a legitimate child, it would be under Bas Ishtai. The key of the fifth Yisrael Bita, a woman and her daughter, I don't care who the father is. So why is Bitai separate? The answer is, because Bitai is not his wife's daughter, it's a daughter out of wedlock. I wouldn't know a daughter from his anusa, from a woman that he forced himself on. The Ishai de Kedushim Ashma. Isho Bita means a legitimate wife. So Ishus. We learn now the Isra of Bitai Manusasai from a different classic as the Gemara explains. So we listed 9 out of the 15 Ervas. His daughter, his two granddaughters, his wife's daughter, her two granddaughters, his mother-in-law, and two grandmother-in-laws. Those are 9 of the
Everybody losing?
I think he,
hello, Rabbi Yitzchak?
Got disconnected.
Somebody should check.
Muted himself? Maybe he muted himself by mistake?
I might have muted myself. I don't know how far I was out. Okay. So again,
you were up to 9
Arabic. I'm sorry?
You just said you started listing the 9 Arabs.
Right. So the 9 Arabs are daughter and 2 granddaughters. They're his daughter, not his wife's daughter, right? Because it wasn't to a wife, it was out of wedlock. Then his wife's daughter and her 2 granddaughters. And his mother-in-law and 2 grandmother-in-laws. Those are the 9 Ervas we listed now. Now we're moving on to the other Ervas. And that is, yes.
The mother-in-law and wife, does that have to be biological mother-in-law? What about an Ashes Chama, wife of his father-in-law, from a non-biological mother-in-law?
It's for sure not an Erva. I'm wondering if it's considered a Shnia. I don't even think it's a Shnia. It's only his wife's mother. It's not his wife's father's wife. No.
Okay.
No.
Rabbi, did you say that Rashi's question was why the mother-in-law is being mentioned here, since it has nothing to do with Yibam?
She does have to do with Eva, but she mentioned she married his brother. She was a mother-in-law, and then her husband died, and she married Shimon, who was Reuven's brother. Rashi's question was, where is the pasuk mention mother-in-law? Never mentions mother-in-law. So Rashi says, mother-in-law and grandmother-in-law is the flip of daughter and granddaughter. Because if you have a mother-in-law and his wife, that's a mother and daughter. The Torah actually is mother, daughter, and granddaughter. So it can go either way, up or down.
But there's no obligation for Shimon to marry his mother-in-law, is there?
Again. It's Reuven's mother-in-law that Shimon married of his free will.
Uh-huh.
Being Reuven had a mother-in-law whose husband died. She was a widow. Reuven's brother married her. Didn't have to. He did.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that's where I got confused. It has nothing to do with Yibum. He just did.
No. He just did. Now he died without children, and Reuven has a mitzvah. The question is, does Reuven have a mitzvah to be miyavim his mother-in-law or his grandmother-in-law? The answer is no. So not only can he be miyavim her, but he can't be miyavim Shimon's otherwise as well, because she is a tzara's herb.
Yeah, I'm sure some of these relationships are so unusual, I get confused. Okay, thank you.
Right, that's what the complicated part of this mishnah is, to keep track of relationships. Now, when I was in yeshiva, they didn't have these charts. They had one little book was trying to figure out all these relations, and it looked like an NFL playbook because, you know, you had arrows going here and arrows going there. It was more confusing than trying to figure it out yourself.
And the flip side is our derisas.
What do you mean?
In other words, the Torah doesn't explicitly say the mother-in-law and the grandmother-in-law.
It does.
We learned that, and it actually says
it does. By saying you can't have a mother and a daughter, it's saying you can't have a mother and a mother, a wife and a mother. It's the same thing.
Well, how do we know that? In other words,
the person marries his wife's mother, that's a mother and a daughter. No?
Yes, yeah, okay.
Can
we move on?
Is there any factor in the fact that women cannot bar spare children? That has nothing to do with it. I didn't
hear the question.
Is there any factor of a woman not an inability to bear children? If she's an older woman, he can do Yibum anyway. Cause
That doesn't make a difference. A woman can be 100 years old and there's a bit of Yibum. Or Halitza. I mentioned that this happens, that you have a woman whose husband lives to 95 and she is 94 and they didn't have children, and now her husband dies, and there's a mitzvah, we don't do Yibum today, we do Halitza. This woman is not interested. Never going to get married anyway. I don't need Halitza. Leave me alone. I don't want to go through the procedure. I'm not interested in going through and spinning and doing a bet. I'm 94 years old. Leave me alone. I'm not planning to get married. Right? So, halakhically speaking, there's nothing we can do. Kabbalistically, we try to encourage it because it's closer for the neshama. Closer, for the neshama. So, therefore, we encourage it. But there's no way we can force a woman to do it because the bottom line is she's not planning to get married. Why should she need chalitza? She's 94. Her husband died. There's no interest in getting married. There's no Yibum today, and there's no Chalitza, but she doesn't want it. She doesn't want to do Chalitza. You can't force her to do Chalitza. Kabbalistically, she would be helping her husband's neshama if she did. But, you know, there has to be a certain type of woman that's willing to go through the process for that reason, you know, depending on her age and religious, you know, how much she believes in this thing, that would make the difference. Next case.
The whole purpose of all this is, in Yibum in general, is to have his name, what's the word? Have his name,
Perpetuated.
Right, so does it matter if he had a kid, the original guy Shimon, and the kid unfortunately passed away, or... Before, if he had a kid that died, Hashem. And then Yibum, then is there still Yibum?
Again, Yibum depends on when the guy died. At the time of death, were there any offspring?
Oh, so if it wasn't offspring, but the offspring was lifted before, it's still Yibum.
Right, now, if there's a grandson left, that's offspring. Let's say Shimon had a son, who had a son, and Shimon's son died. But Shimon still has a grandson. That's offspring. There's no Mitzvah Yibum. Mitzvah Yibum is Shimon dies with no offspring.
Right. Well, let's say, for example, Shimon had a son who cannot, he wasn't able to, he's a,
He's a Sarit.
Yeah. Is that also Yibum?
No. By the way, this happened in the war, during World War II. People lost their children. Rahmanul Islam came after the war, got remarried, never had children again. Many, many people were like that. They were younger, they had children. Their wife and kids were killed out during the war. They came after the war, they remarried, they didn't have any children anymore. Their wives needed Yibum or Chalitza, even though the husband had had a whole family once upon a time. At the time of his death, there were no offspring, Rahman al-Islam, but that's what happened many times. It happened to my father's brother. My father's brother died without children. They had a family before the war, remarried after the war, and didn't have any children. It happens. Shem Yerachim, it happened. And we go by the time of death, he had no children. The fact that he had children before the war, unfortunately, they were killed, and they didn't exist at the time that he died. There was a mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza. Next case. Achaisai Me'ibai. Now, the mitzvah of Yibum is only by paternal brothers. It doesn't affect non-paternal brothers. That means a person should not, there's no mitzvah of Yibum to a white brother that's only maternal. It depends on a paternal relationship. So Reuven had Shimon were brothers sharing the same father. Reuven had a sister that was only maternal. That means Reuven's parents had children, right, from different marriages. Reuven had a brother from his father and a sister that was only a half-sister from his mother. His paternal brother married his maternal sister. This can happen. Happens a lot of times, right? There's a marriage. Two people get together, one has a son, one has a daughter, who are not related to each other. Then they have a child who's related to both of them, right? So Reuven was born to a couple that the father had a child, a son, and the mother had a daughter. And now Reuven was born, he has a maternal sister and a paternal brother who marry each other, which happens a lot of times. And now they're married, and then he dies without children. Now, Reuven can't do Yibum to his sister, right? So not only can't he do Yibum to his sister, but he can't do Yibum to her tzara as well. So that's Achaisai Me'imai, a sister that's maternal. Some trashy. Achaisai Me'imai Shenasa La'achim Me'avim, that married his paternal brother, Umay. Okay, that's that case. Now, next case. And the same thing is true, his mother's sister. Reuven's mother's sister married his paternal brother. His maternal aunt, his mother's sister married his paternal brother who's not related to that lady at all and then died without children. So now, Reuven can't do Yibum because it's his aunt. Terrible. The trashy, the chayin achoy simay, shenasa achav me'adim. She'ein chi of Yibum, alav achav v'na'av. Yibum is only by paternal brothers, the siv ki yesu achim yachtav, v'yalfin an ach v'achvim v'dnei yachrif. We learn that from the very summer from the kids of Yachrif. Na'al ha'alam v'na'av, av v'yishen v'na'ein, achanam v'lashta. Just like over there was paternal, even though the yishvatim were not related maternally, only paternally. And then here, the mitzvah of Yibum is only by paternal brother, not by maternal brother. So we have a chayse ne'imai, a maternal sister, Achayt Imai is a maternal aunt who marries this paternal brother. There's no mitzvah of Yibum because he's an Erva, and therefore there's no mitzvah to the Tzara as well. We'll continue from tomorrow. Everybody should have a wonderful day.
Thank you.